Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control.
Welcome to Too Much Money, the podcast that asks, does being a billionaire make you crazy, or do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire? Which, you know, Joe, is really one of the great existential questions of our time. I am Dori Shafrir.
And I am Joe Piazza. And as we always like to remind you at the top of this podcast, we are not billionaires.
We're not. We're not even close to being billionaires. But, you know, I think that that gives us a unique angle into the stories that we like to tell. We have a really great story for you today. But before we get into it, I always forget to do this, and I have now made a note to myself to not forget. But we have an email address, which is toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. We love getting your emails. We love your suggestions, your thoughts, your comments, concerns. We love it all. So send us emails. And yeah. So Joe, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are actually part of this conversation. I'm so excited because you know what we don't talk about enough on this podcast, Dori?
What's that?
Women.
Oh, it's so true.
It's true.
So true.
I know. And like while the very rich people that we will be discussing today are not women in this episode, we do get to talk about a really cool badass lady. And it's so crazy to me. I was thinking about this while I was reporting and researching this episode. My general au revoir, if you will, is badass women. Like if you were to ask me, hey, what's your beat? What's the through line of your novels? Also, everyone pre-order The Sicilian Inheritance. I want to be a billionaire, guys. I want to be a billionaire. The through line is strong, competent, badass women. And this is the only project where we just talk about a lot of dudes.
It's so true.
So true. So true. And so today we get to talk about one of those women, and I'm just giddy. You're going to hear it in my voice, the giddiness to get to talk about a cool ass lady. But first, I do want to remind the audience that billionaires like very specific things. They like to find things. They like to find things that other people can't find, which is hilarious because the men in my life just lose shit. Like, Nick can't find his keys or his sunglasses. Charlie doesn't know where his shoes are. So just the fact that the billionaires love to find hidden and lost things, that irony is not lost on me.
So funny. I love that connection that you're making.
And I think everyone listening can feel that. I think everyone feels that. I do.
Yeah.
Billionaires also love a treasure hunt. And solving a mystery.
Yes.
Now I'm going to ask you, what historical story is the trifecta of all three of these things?
Joe, this is tough. I want, like, is it... I don't know. Can I have a clue?
Well, we've already said that this story involves a badass lady who did something uh-huh. very, very noteworthy and incredible.
Ooh, and it involves a search. Joe, I'm going to say this is about Amelia Earhart.
Ding, ding. Ding, ding, my friend.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know. I would say that this is one of the big mysteries that people are generally obsessed with and up there on par with who killed JFK. Mm-hmm. But by the way, who killed JFK? It still confounds me that we don't know that.
Well, I mean, that could lead us on a whole sidebar.
Get us
down that road because, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I mean, people are obsessed with the mystery of Amelia Earhart disappearing, and millions of dollars have been spent to try to figure out what happened to her, both by the U.S. government and by private rich people. I know that most of us know the name Amelia Earhart, and we also probably know, you know, the top lines of this story, but do you want me to dig in to what happened to her? Just the nitty gritty?
Yes,
okay, cool.
Please.
Cool. Okay. So first off, again, this is something people are very, very into. If you were to Google the term Amelia Earhart disappearance, there's more than 2.5 million pages to go through, things to go through. And some of these websites have valid information, but most of them are filled with BS conspiracy theories.
Wow.
Yeah. This is also, I mean, not like this isn't just a mystery, but it's also the kind of thing that conspiracy theorists love. One of these conspiracies is that the Secretary of the Navy at the time was actually involved in the cover-up of destroying her plane so that no one would ever know what actually happened to her.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
I will say that later on in this episode, there's breaking news about the Amelia Earhart disappearance. That's why we're doing this episode today. This week, it was announced that a commercial real estate investor from Charleston, South Carolina, believes that he may have found a clue about her disappearance, and it only cost him a cool $11 million to find it.
Oh my God. Money well spent.
Money well spent. And also, Dory, his name is Tony Romeo.
Of course it is. So wait, Joe, can we just back up for a second?
Yeah, of course.
And just briefly talk about like who Amelia Earhart was. You know, how famous was she at the time? What was she trying to do when she disappeared?
Like, yes. All right, here I go. I mean, I was doing a lot of sidebarring. Usually
I love a sidebar.
Usually you are the sidebarer. Okay.
Yeah.
You are. You are. All right, so I'm going to back up. Amelia Earhart, like we said, badass historical lady. I have long been intrigued by her story. That said, I wouldn't necessarily search for her if I just had millions of dollars to fuck around with, but that's just me. Amelia, I think we're on a first name basis now, was born in 1897 in Kansas, just to put her, you know, in a time period.
Okay.
And, you know, right around the turn of the 20th century, we know very well that being a woman was not easy. Being an ambitious woman was even harder. Now, imagine being an ambitious young woman who wants to fly a goddamn plane.
I mean, I can't even, like, I can barely imagine that today in 2024.
Yes. I mean, the number of female pilots remains very, very low. But yes, so 120 years ago, this was nearly impossible. And her own family, she loved planes from a very early age. And her own family was even like, how about you don't do this? You know, there's just, you know, we'd prefer you not to be a pilot. But she persisted. Nevertheless, she persisted. And she learned how to fly. Mm-hmm. And she was very, very good at it. She started setting a lot of records in aviation. And she became the first female. She became the first female pilot to fly alone across the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm.
Huge, right? Huge.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Like, I can't even, I can like barely wrap my head around that in that day and age.
So transatlantic flights back then were not as fast as transatlantic flights today, right? I mean, how long does it take to get from, say, New York to London these days? 6 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so flights back then were about 15 hours. And it was also freezing and completely fraught because your instruments are not nearly as good as they are today. I mean, it's 15 hours in the freezing cold, pretty much convinced you're going to die the entire time.
And don't you have to, like, stop to refuel?
You did have to stop to refuel. Yes. Okay. You could not do, like, there, you had to stop on, like, weird, random islands to refuel. Like, this was not just like, oh, I'm just going to, like, just, you know, sit there and turn autopilot on. Like, this was a feat, a death-defying feat, mm-hmm. if you will. It really was. It was. And so, you know, because she did that, she did achieve a certain level of celebrity status. But that is not what she is best known for. She's not best known for being probably the best female pilot of her day. She's known for disappearing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was about to embark on this huge around-the-world flight in 1937. And she wasn't doing this one alone. She was going with a navigator. That's how these flights usually worked. You had a pilot and then you had a navigator who is like directing you where to go and how to get around certain weather and navigating you by maps, but then also by celestial navigation sometimes. I mean, again.
Oh, wow. Just, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So on June 1st, 1937, Amelia Earhart left Oakland, California with her navigator, Fred Noonan, on a twin-engine Lockheed Electra plane. Do you want to hear a fun sidebar?
I do.
I once dated an heir to the Lockheed family.
Okay.
I did not marry this individual. But his mother was named after this plane.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
What was the name of the plane?
The Electra.
Oh, the Electra. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I don't think he listens to this podcast. If he does, he's going to be pissed because he thinks he's a very private person. But whatever. Fuck it. I don't care anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting, though. Just, you know, rich people being rich people.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they took off from Oakland. It took them nearly a month to reach New Guinea. Like, that's how long this takes. And they had flown 22,000 miles, and they still had 7,000 more to go before they would be able to return to Oakland. To do a full trip around the world. They took off from New Guinea and they had 2,500 miles to go before their next stop, Howland Island, where they could refuel. Like, you know, you had to refuel about every 2,000, every 2,500 miles.
Okay.
So the weather gets bad at this point. It's overcast. There's a lot of wind. Radio transmission gets really bad. And they clearly started having fuel issues because they did not reach their destination of Howland Island. What we do know is that at the very end, Noonan, the navigator, was trying to use the celestial navigation, navigating by the stars, to try to find his way, but it was too cloudy to even do that.
Okay.
They fell out of radio contact with the Coast Guard. There was one last transmission where Amelia said their fuel stores were running low. The very last one was, "We're running north and south." That's it. That's it. Their fuel is low. We're running north and south. They were never heard from ever again.
Joe, I think this is a great place to take a break.
Let's take a break.
Take a little break. And I'm on the edge of my seat.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Okay. We are back. When we left you, Amelia Earhart and her navigator had just gone missing. They were never heard from ever again. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is 1937. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the midst of the Great Depression. The country's not doing great.
Yeah.
But President Franklin Delano Roosevelt still ordered a massive search for Amelia Earhart that cost the government something like $4 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which was a ton of money.
A ton of money back then. I mean, this was a search that covered something like 250,000 square miles.
Shit. It's
huge, huge search. The government is clearly spending money that they did not have. The search went on for 16 days. It involved nine different vessels, 4,000 crewmen, and 66 aircraft.
What? Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was the most expensive air and sea search in American history up to that point, according to reports. But yeah, I mean, even saying that, it's like, okay, this is like the first, planes are still new. Okay, so
yes,
it's probably the first big,
yes,
massive search in American history. But regardless, there was no sign of them anywhere. It was as if they had vanished into thin air. And Amelia Earhart was officially declared dead on January 5th, 1939.
Okay.
The government decided that the two of them had run out of fuel and then just probably crashed into the ocean, which also sounds sensible to me. The ocean is big.
The ocean is very big.
I mean, I know that I say a lot of really profound things on this podcast, but
no.
The ocean be big.
The ocean, like, I'll speak for myself. I know that I do not have, like, remotely a grasp on how massive the ocean is.
No, not at all. Just, like, accept both, that it be, like, big.
Yes, breadth and depth.
Mm-hmm. Breadth and depth. Okay. Yes. Both of those things.
Both of those things.
So the government says they ran out of fuel and they crashed. But even then, people didn't believe it. And there's all of these crazy conspiracy theories. We mentioned one of them. Another conspiracy theory is that Amelia Earhart was actually a secret agent for the U.S. government and, like, not just an incredible pilot, that she was a secret agent and that she was taken prisoner by the Japanese for trying to spy on the Japanese occupied islands.
This is a lot.
No, there's more, girl. There's more, girl. So
this is a lot. There's a lot happening.
Another theory is that Earhart reached an uninhabited island in the Pacific. Other theories include that she was captured by the Japanese, but then she lived in Japan and became a wartime personality who went by the moniker Tokyo Rose. The Tokyo Rose broadcasts were how Allied troops referred to female English-speaking radio broadcasters of Japanese propaganda. And yes, we do believe that we know who is behind a lot of these, but people still think that it was Amelia Earhart who was Tokyo Rose.
See. Okay. Yes. Okay. Got it.
And the most bizarre of all of the theories is that she secretly returned to the United States and took the identity of a woman named Irene Craigmile Bolam, a wealthy New Jersey housewife.
Okay. Wow.
I'm not even going to get into the theories that she was abducted by aliens.
Wow.
Because those are there too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are there too. Mm-hmm. Amelia, because we talk about money on this podcast, one of my favorite subjects, I do want to say that Amelia's estate never really benefited at all from all of this hoopla surrounding her.
Okay.
A few years, I mean, at least not in a huge way. They did a little bit. A few years after Amelia Earhart was declared dead, her husband, George Palmer Putnam, approved a treatment for a film about her life that was supposed to be produced by RKO. And that he was supposed to receive $7,500, which is not nothing back then, but also not a ton of money. And he agreed to sign off on this as long as there were not going to be any very obvious similarities between the film and his wife's life. And, you know, it was eventually produced by RKO and renamed The Flight for Freedom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So that's, like, that's the long backstory here. She disappears. It captures the entire world's attention. Everyone's got a theory about what happened to her. And it's just the perfect setting for a mystery that has long intrigued very rich people.
Okay. How are they exploring this? And is there, like, a listserv where they all communicate? Like, You know what I mean? Like, are they all?
Have you heard of Reddit, Dory?
I have, Joe. I have.
Yes. Yes. I mean, don't go down the Amelia Earhart rabbit hole on Reddit. I did it for you, as did Nick. I mean, we've said before that Nick loves a Reddit rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And even he was like, this is a lot. So you have the gamut from people who are just intrigued by Amelia Earhart and want to read about her. But a lot of people have actually put in the time and effort to go search for her in the big ocean and also on many islands in the Pacific where she could have crashed.
Wow. Okay.
So since 1989, there has been a group called the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery. Their acronym is TIGHAR. And sure. It is, you know, primarily led by a man named Rick Gillespie. And what TIGHAR believes is that Amelia must have made an emergency landing on a stretch of coral reef off of what has been known as Gardner Island, which is just southwest of Howland Island, where they were supposed to land. And this group, TIGHAR, has raised millions of dollars in private funding to finance expeditions. Mm. To these islands. And when you think island, I know that you're thinking, you know, white sandy beach, cabanas and daiquiris. These are rocks in the ocean. These are uninhabited rocks in the ocean.
Right.
It's not like you're going to Club Med. Yeah. You are.
Oh, my God.
You are scouring some, like, ocean rocks is what you're doing. So Rick Gillespie and TIGHAR, like, a lot of people are like, you're crazy. This is millions of dollars wasted. She definitely fell into the ocean, which still makes the most sense to me, again, because the ocean is big.
Right.
But some people have even praised him. Apparently, in 2012, Hillary Clinton recognized Rick Gillespie at a reception that was honoring Amelia Earhart, and apparently in a letter said, "This great adventure embodies the very hope, ingenuity, and boundless optimism of the American spirit."
Wow. Okay.
Does it? I hate to go off on a tangent, okay, but millions of dollars to search for a person who disappeared nearly 100 years ago, who we're pretty sure just fell into the ocean, or could we pay for kids to go to school or to feed children? What makes me more optimistic? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. I mean, what gives me more hope?
Yep.
And they've found things that they believe came from Amelia's plane, but then later they realized they're like, oh, okay, it just came from another plane that crashed on this rock in the middle of the ocean. They also once excavated a grave on one of these islands, and so there were bones, but it was actually a baby. It wasn't Amelia Earhart. Yeah.
Womp.
And remember, when you're looking for this wreckage, it's tiny pieces of metal, right? That could be anything.
Yes.
Like another one of the things they found was another, it's like a little piece of metal, which they were immediately like, well, this is definitely part of her plane.
Right. But like, who's to say?
Who is to say? Yeah. Who is to say?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, there, but, and yet people continue this search. TIGHAR has mainly been searching on the islands. They also do search in the ocean, but, you know, they've been looking for remains on these rocks in the middle, mm-hmm. middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is worth saying that some of the former supporters of Tighar and Rick Gillespie think that they are hiding evidence.
Interesting. And the they is just...
Tighar and Rick Gillespie, this organization. Yeah, right. They're saying, look, they're raising millions of dollars, and I think they're actually hiding evidence from us because it's become a business for them, even though they call it a nonprofit.
Right. I see. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when money gets involved, shit gets crazy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Gillespie has responded to these complaints, saying, this is just the peak of a pissed off millionaire. Amelia inspires passion. I understand that. But my skin got thick a long time ago.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
She does inspire passion, which I think we should probably take another break here.
Okay.
And then we can get into this breaking news about the newest development and Tony Romeo.
Tony Romeo. Okay.
Tony Romeo.
All right. We'll be right back.
Okay. And now we are back. We are back with the breaking news in the hunt for Amelia Earhart. Like I said earlier, this week that we are recording this, it was announced that a commercial real estate investor from Charleston, South Carolina, thinks that he may have found a clue to Amelia Earhart's disappearance. And he has spent $11 million to find this clue.
Wow.
Tony Romeo is also a pilot, and he is a former U.S. Air Force intelligence officer. Last year, he sold his commercial real estate properties to fund this search.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, can you just imagine being like, you know what? I'm just going to sell everything I own to search for Amelia Earhart. And that brings me to one last sidebar, Dory. Years ago, I was in Scotland. I was doing a series of stories on a road trip with our friend Glynis. Uh-huh. And we drove up to Loch Ness, famous home of another famous mystery, the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes.
And you know, my favorite stories are the ones that I stumble on that I'm not expecting to find.
Totally, of course.
I found a gentleman who had been living in an RV next to Loch Ness for decades, who had sold all of his earthly possessions and given his entire life to solving the mystery of the Loch Ness Monster.
Howl. Wow.
Like I said, men like to be solving mysteries, okay? So anyway, back to Tony Romeo. Tony sells all of his commercial properties. He raises all this money and goes on an expedition to try to find any evidence of what happened to Amelia Earhart and her plane, the Lockheed Electra, which my ex-boyfriend's mother is named after.
Of course.
He comes back with a sonar image of an aircraft-shaped object on the ocean floor, which apparently no one else has ever found before.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Dorothy Cochran, she's a curator in the aeronautics department at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. She's like a sonar expert, has said in many articles, this location is about right.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. 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 And Tony Romeo has said that he is going to go back and try to get better images. This, I have a direct quote from Tony. "This is maybe the most exciting thing I'll ever do in my entire life. I feel like a 10-year-old going on a treasure hunt."
Okay.
That line right there, it just sums up everything we've been saying on this podcast, that the obsessions of 10-year-old boys are what rich men like to do with their money.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, Dory. It's a lot to take in.
This is a lot to process. I'm not going to lie.
It's a lot to take in. And this is a story. This is a story that's continuing because so since Tony Romeo released his new evidence, all of the Amelia Earhart conspiracy theory boards and websites and all of these amateur investigators are going fucking crazy. Okay. So this new evidence is clearly going to bring in a gold rush of new Amelia Earhart investigations and stories. And it's a whole industry now, which I think is so interesting.
Wow. This is fascinating.
It is fascinating. And again, it's such an interesting example to me of what people want to spend their money on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, if this is what you want to spend your money on, okay. But it feels so... like, I can't imagine saying, like, I have a commercial real estate empire and I'm going to liquidate it so I can try to find Amelia Earhart's plane. Like, but I guess that, like, makes sense in his mind.
Yes. I guess. I guess. I mean, the other really interesting thing about this new quote unquote evidence that was found is that the sonar image looks like an intact plane. So it looks like a plane that is actually just crash landed beneath the water. So it does lend credence to the original theory. She was exhausted, right? They can't navigate anymore. Mm-hmm. And the plane just flew into the ocean. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when planes do crash land in the ocean, especially if you know that you're running out of fuel, they don't necessarily crash land in a dramatic way, right? I mean, you remember Sully and the miracle on the Hudson.
I do remember Sully. I sure do.
So, you know, I mean, if you are an accomplished pilot, as Amelia was, you're landing on the water fairly gently. You're still out of fuel. You're going to sink, but the plane wouldn't necessarily break up. I mean, their search was crazy. They searched for 90 days. They searched 5,200 square miles of the ocean.
Wow. Okay.
And they had an underwater submersible. They had an underwater submersible. We've talked about, rich people.
Submersibles.
Rich people and their submersibles that... was conducting this search and doing sonar scans underwater.
Wow. Okay. This just all seems like it's a lot of work.
It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe, where do you kind of stand on all of this? Like, what is your personal opinion on the search and, like...
to be honest, it just seems frivolous and silly to me.
Yeah.
it seems like a silly thing to spend money on. And also kind of proves to me that it is possible to have too much money. Mm-hmm. I think it is likely that she did disappear into the ocean, and that's a terrible thing and a terrible tragedy. But is it a mystery that we have to solve for the good of humanity? Nope.
Right.
I don't believe so. Right. I do. Right. I just think it is possible to have too much money. And what I hope is these millionaires are employing a lot of people to do these things who would otherwise not be paid to do this kind of stuff.
Right. Sure.
But yeah, I do. It just seems like a frivolous search to me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, even more frivolous, I would say, like, I also think the billionaire obsession with going to the Titanic is crazy and frivolous.
Right, right, right.
You know, but like, even that seems like a little bit more interesting for the history that can be gained at the crash site. Like, what was the life like for the people who died at the site? Like, I do think there's some archaeological significance to that. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is one plane with two people in it.
Right. And like, ultimately, what does it tell us other than just being like, okay, case closed, which I guess is its own sort of like satisfying conclusion, but there's no kind of bigger thing.
There's no bigger here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So like that's my big thing about it. I remain fascinated by Amelia Earhart, but my take is, wow, I'd love to celebrate her life and the enormous achievements that she made instead of constantly fixating on her death.
Ooh, Joe, I love that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what, I mean, like, as you know, women storytellers who like to tell the stories of fierce women, like, we want to celebrate her life, whereas these men are like, I just want to hear about how she died.
Right. And you're so right. Like, I don't know a ton more about all the things she did before her last flight. Because like you said, everyone has just been so fixated on the last flight and the mystery. And I get that that is like more compelling, but it is, you're right. It does like reduce her to this mystery that is ultimately like not what she represented. It doesn't come close to like describing all of her achievements. Yeah, I think that's a really important point.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you could ask anyone, right? Like we could do another TikTok poll about this. Like, mm-hmm. What's the first thing you think when you think about Amelia Earhart? And they're like, disappeared and died in the ocean. Instead of being like, the first woman to accomplish this, the most successful pilot of her time, right? And I would, like I said, I'd just much rather celebrate her life than fixate on her death.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Joe, that seems like a good note to end on. Like I said at the top of the show, please email us at toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. And Too Much Money is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Joe Piazza. And our music is by Lisa Brenner. Our network partner is Acast. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control.